rock and roll heaven clear by two. Three quarters, 119-4. 26-2, are you kidding me here?
Rock and roll heaven winning the Little Brown Jug.
Rock and roll heaven, one more lap. Rock and roll heaven, 148-1.
If you believe in forever.
Most trainers dream of a horse like Rock and Roll Heaven, and trainer Bruce Saunders has been living the dream. That dream season ends on Sunday in the matron final at Dover Downs. Bruce, welcome to Trot Radio.
Norm, it's a pleasure to be with you.
The colt won his matron limb very handily, pretty much like the way he's captured a lot of his great victories. How's he coming into Sunday's event?
I couldn't be any happier with his attitude and the soundness, and I think that race last week probably tightened him up a little bit, not that he needed to get any sharper, but we raced at Yonkers and then missed a week before that, so this would be the first time in about a month he's raced back-to-back.
You're okay with that, you said, and if it keeps him tight, what a way to go out.
I've found during the course of the year that for the most part, as long as I don't get too carried away, just kind of stay out of his way. It pretty much doesn't matter what I do with him, whether I train him a little harder or train him easy or don't train him at all, or he races 3 weeks in a row or misses 3 weeks. It pretty much doesn't matter to him. He shows up with his game face and does the very best he can.
You know, that's interesting. I talk to a lot of trainers, and when they talk about their class horses, they all say what basically you've said, and that is that they stay out of the horse's way. The horse is a professional, and that horse is going to do what's needed to get it done. I find that interesting.
I think that's a consistent strain with all great horses. A great horse is a great horse, and as long as the humans don't do something illogical, irrational, or out of the norm, he's going to show up and do his job. Now, he's going to be a little better or a little worse, you know, depending upon circumstances. You know, they're not machines. But I found with him, here of late, because we are getting towards the end of his career, and I'm not managing him anymore for a year. I'm just managing him for a month or so. I've trained him a little harder of late, and he seems to thrive on the work.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's been sharper his last few starts than he's been almost any time during his career.
At the beginning of this segment, we aired a number of Rock and Roll Heaven snippets from great races won. Is there any one race that really stands out in your mind that just illustrates how good this colt is? I'm going to tell you what mine is. It's the Jug, because he just manhandled
The Jug was an awakening for the entire harness world to acknowledge just what kind of talent this horse had. I've been lucky enough to be with him every day since we acquired him, and I've seen him do three or four things out of the norm that make my hair stand on end. But the Jug, the back-to-back performances, particularly the second one to pace that much finishing on such a hot day and equal the world record again, was mind-boggling. That race, on a positive side, the Breeders' Crown, from a positive note, to pace three quarters and 19 in the piece as easily as he did and still have enough gear to sprint away coming for home. That also stamped him, I think, in the public's eyes as a classic colt.
You know, we've seen so many great 2- and 3-year-old pacers in the last 10 years, the Gallo Blue Chips, the Rock and Roll Hanovers, the Beaches. Where do you think this colt ranks among the top glamour boys?
I've given that some thought because I've heard other people's opinions, and I think anybody that's realistic, when you put your top group together, whether it's your top three, he's got to be in the conversation. Just to be associated with those quality of horses is really a high compliment. For myself, I think the run that he's been on since his defeat in the Oliver Wendell Holmes, since that race, he's been on such an impressive scheme. Didn't matter where he went, what size racetrack. I think Sam McKee at Lexington pointed out that in a 31-day period, he'd won 6 times and 49 or 2 or better, twice on a 5/8 mile track, twice on a mile track, and twice on a half mile track. And I'm not sure a skein of races similar to that has ever been duplicated, and I'm not sure his last 9 or 10 starts have been duplicated.
I'm just wondering, pardon me for interrupting, that 119 and change 3/4 at Vernon Downs Breeders' Crown, would that have been a record?
That was at Pocono. It was a record for Pocono. Someone did some research and don't recall the specifics of it, whether that was the fastest 3/4 of all time or whether it had been done at Vernon maybe one night or at the Meadowlands or someplace else, but for a 5/8 mile track, That was the fastest anyone had gone three quarters.
I'll have to give my friend Bob Hayden a call. He probably would be the one to come up with that information. Now, I guess congratulations are in order. The horse is going to stand at Blue Chip Farms in New York. Now, the decision to let the colt stand at stud in New York, did that have anything to do with the recent Hansen report, which, you know, casts a bit of a pall over the industry in New Jersey? Was that an influence?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the entire climate in New Jersey has been very iffy. The original Hansen report that came out, shook the ground that we stood on, not only in New Jersey, but throughout the states and into Canada, because everyone, the Meadowlands has, with its stake season and sending a signal out to other simulcasting facilities. I mean, it's a place everybody wants to gamble because the pool size is the greatest, and historically, we've had the best horses, the best drivers,
yep,
and the biggest races. Now, that has changed some of the landscape with the slots and hands purses in New York and Pennsylvania and you guys in Canada and Dover. It's changed a little bit, and we've had some difficulties competing. So the climate in New Jersey wasn't good, and everybody was hopeful with the new governor, Governor Christie. He indicated that he would be sympathetic towards the needs of the horse people in New Jersey and would do what he could to ensure continued prosperity.
Well, that was a crock, though, wasn't it?
Well, he was soliciting votes and campaign contributions at the time. You know, he forgot some of that commentary when he got elected, and assigned a committee that was very much laden with Atlantic City interest and land development interest, and did really only Mike Pilato was the only one on it, and we were very disturbed with that, and everybody got a little nervous. But the Senate panel hearings over the course of the summer and early fall were very useful, and those people in the Senate recognized the importance of the horse and harness racing in New Jersey and pledged to do something to help us, and they did. They just passed 7 bills, mm-hmm, that all would have a very positive effect on the future of New Jersey racing. And I think the opponents of racing, the Hansen, and I guess the governor, although he hasn't spoken out lately, Hansen snapped right back within 10 hours or so of the passage of the internet gaming bill that would enable people to stay at home and bet gaming in Atlantic City through their terminals. And they'd set aside, I think the number was $30 million for horse racing in New Jersey, which would, you know, enable us to stay the course, if not improved.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the knee-jerk reaction by the Hansen group was, well, we've got to stop these guys before they really establish themselves, and we can't get them out of there. So they came back with this ridiculous piece of garbage. None of the proposals were practical, could be implemented, made any sense, and all of them would be similar to pushing somebody off a cliff or off the top of the building. Harness racing and the horse racing industry in New Jersey would go into a free fall.
The whole thing stinks from top to bottom. I think anybody who looks at that as objectively as they can would have to conclude that the fix was in from the very beginning, even having an individual like Hansen there, a developer, for crying out loud. What's he,
You know, we all have an opinion on that. I happen to agree completely with you. This governor, Governor Christie, who was a prosecutor, if he were still the prosecutor and this was another governor, I'm sure he would be having an investigation into, if not corruption, collusion, because Christie was his campaign finance manager. He's got an interest, supposedly financial interest, in the Xanadu project, which sits capped, and he's a land developer by trade, so I don't see how he can be objective, nor should he be the guy to spearhead a commission to determine public policy with regarding a very valuable piece of land in North Jersey. I mean, none of it makes any sense, and hopefully, the stink will come to the front, and it'll get resolved. But, you know, in the meantime, life goes on, and the Bellinos had to make some hard decisions as to what to do with their colt. You know, they love the Paredes. It's a great facility in New Jersey. They have an outstanding group of mares. We were looking forward to a great relationship, a wonderful book of mares for that horse. But when New Jersey blew up, you know, you just can't bring not only Rock and Roll Heaven, any stallion into the state with the uncertainty of the future. So
let's take a look at the future and hopefully in a more positive vein now, because, I mean, whatever's going to happen in New Jersey is going to happen. But let's look forward to the future in the breeding shed for Rock and Roll Heaven. What kind of traits do you think he'll be passing on to his offspring?
I would trust that he would do the same thing that his father has and his grandfather, Western Ideal, Rock and Roll Hanover. I think both advanced the quality of the breed with their size, their gait, their speed, and their endurance. And I think Rock and Roll Heaven has contributed a lot of those similar traits. You know, he has vicious high speed. He's got unbelievable tenacity. He's got great stamina. He's got a remarkable attitude, willing to cooperate, loves his work. He never had a bad day on the racetrack. His ears were always forward. Those are the kinds of things that you need to have in a horse. Speed, stamina, gameness, tenacity, great attitude. If he can pass three of those five on to his offspring, they'll all have a chance to be really nice horses. The one or two that, you know, get the benefit of all five of those things as he did from his family, and, you know, they got a chance to be every bit as great as he is.
I'd love to have the colt that gets all five. But now, he's in the Gopher Sunday. We just want to wish you the best of luck in that, and continued success for yourself, Bruce, in your training endeavors, and, of course, for Rock and Roll Heaven in the breeding shed. Thank you so much for being with us on Trot Radio.
It's been a pleasure, Norm. Have a great day.
If you believe in forever, then life is just a one-night stand. If there's a rock and roll heaven.